Audible Studios presents The Phoenix Program, written by Douglas Valentine, narrated by Bob Sauer. Series Introduction. 1. We the people seem to have the freest book trade in the world. Certainly we have the biggest. Cruise the mighty Amazon, and you will see so many books for sale in the United States today as would require more than 400 miles of shelving to display them. A bookshelf that would stretch from Boston's Old North Church to Fort McHenry in South Baltimore. Surely that huge catalog is proof of our extraordinary freedom of expression. The U.S. government does not ban books because the First Amendment won't allow it. While books are widely banned in states like China and Iran, no book may be forbidden by the U.S. government at any level, although the CIA censors books by former officers. Where books are banned in the United States, the censors tend to be private organizations, church groups, school boards, and other local busybodies roused to purify the public schools or libraries nearby. Despite such local prohibitions, we can surely find any book we want. After all, it's easy to locate those hot works that once were banned by the government as too obscene to sell or mail until the courts ruled otherwise on First Amendment grounds. Fanny Hill, Howell, Naked Lunch. We also have no trouble finding books banned here and there as anti-family, satanic, racist, and/or filthy, from Huckleberry Finn to Heather Has Two Mommies to the Harry Potter series, just to name a few. 2. And yet the fact that those bold books are all in print and widely read does not mean that we have the freest book trade in the world. On the contrary, for over half a century, America's vast literary culture has been desperately policed and imperceptibly contained by state and corporate entities well-placed and perfectly equipped to wipe out wayward writings. Their ad hoc suppressions through the years have been far more effectual than those quixotic bans imposed on classics like The Catcher in the Rye and Fahrenheit 451. For every one of those bestsellers scandalously purged from some provincial school curriculum, there are many others, we can't know how many, that have been so thoroughly erased that few of us, if any, can remember them or have ever heard of them. How have all those books, to quote George Orwell, dropped into the memory hole in these United States? As America does not ban books, other means, less evident and so less controversial, have been deployed to vaporize them. Some almost never made it into print, as publishers were privately warned off them from on high, either on the grounds of national security or with blunt threats of endless corporate litigation. Other books were signed enthusiastically, then dumped, as their own publishers mysteriously failed to market them or even properly distribute them. But it has mainly been the press that stamps out inconvenient books, either by ignoring them or, most often, laughing them off as conspiracy theory despite their soundness, or because of it. Once out of print, those books are gone. Even if some few of us have not forgotten them, and one might find used copies here and there, these books have disappeared. Missing from the shelves and never mentioned in the press, and seldom mentioned even in our schools, each book thus neutralized might just as well have been destroyed en masse, or never written in the first place, for all their contribution to the public good. 3. The purpose of this series is to bring such vanished books to life. First life for those that never saw the light of day, or barely did, and second life for those that got some notice, or even made a splash, then slipped too quickly out of print and out of mind. These books, by and large, were made to disappear or were hastily forgotten, not because they were too lewd, heretical, or unpatriotic for some touchy group of citizens. These books sank without a trace or faded fast because they tell the sort of truths that Madison and Jefferson believed our Constitution should protect. Truths that the people have the right to know and needs to know about our government and other powers that keep us in the dark. Thus the works on our forbidden bookshelf shed new light, for most of us it's still new light, on the most troubling trends and episodes in U.S. history, especially since World War II. America's broad use of former Nazis and ex-fascists in the Cold War, the Kennedy assassinations, and the murders of Martin Luther King Jr., Orlando Letelier, George Polk, and Paul Wellstone, Ronald Reagan's mafia connections, Richard Nixon's close relationship with Jimmy Hoffa, and the mob's grip on the NFL, America's terroristic Phoenix program in Vietnam, U.S. support for South America's most brutal tyrannies, and CIA involvement in the Middle East, the secret histories of DuPont, ITT, and other giant U.S. corporations, and the long war waged by Wall Street and its allies in real estate on New York City's poor and middle class. The many vanished books on these forbidden subjects, among others, altogether constitute a shadow history of America, a history that we the people need to know at last, our country having now become a land with billionaires in charge and millions not allowed to vote, and everybody under full surveillance. Through this series, we intend to pull that necessary history from the shadows at long last, to shed some light on how America got here and how we might now take it somewhere else. Mark Crispin Miller.